you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have today and right now to just, like Andy said, come into your presence and just set time aside to worship you and to hear from you. And so, Father, I just submit myself to you and ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me. Father, give us ears to hear as your word is spoken. And I just pray that you would, that I would align myself with you tonight, Father God, as we open up your word. So we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we have that first slide up, Anna? Oh, you've got it. There you are. Great. So a few weeks ago, I spoke from John 15 on Jesus is the vine. And so this tonight is part two of the message I spoke a few weeks ago. So just quickly, I wanted to recap about a few things that I spoke about. And I don't have John 15 up, so you'll just have to look that up in your own Bibles. But it's verses 1 to 8 are the verses that we looked at. And so basically in John 15, and let's, there we are, Jesus. So in John 15, Jesus, he paints a picture. And there's three main characters in this picture, and there's Jesus, there's us, and there's God. And so I brought up this picture last time because I just liked the image that that was. And so I talked about Jesus, and in verse 1 in John 15, he says, I am the true vine. And so if we look at Jesus' role in this picture, if Jesus is the vine, then what that really means for us is that he is the vessel that gives us everything we need for life. He is the source. And in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that is such a key statement and such a key truth that we need to remember, that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, that a branch will not survive without the vine, its source. And so then we looked at what our role is, and our role in this picture are the branches. And so whether you look at a lemon tree or an apple tree or any kind of fruit tree, the purpose of those trees is to produce fruit. That's what we have them for. And so if we are a branch attached to the vine, the purpose of our lives is to bear fruit, is to produce fruit. And the way that we produce that fruit is by remaining and abiding in Jesus. And in verse 4, Jesus said, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. And so when we remain in the vine, when we stay attached and connected to Jesus, not just in and out, but when we continually remain in him, he who is the source, then we're going to produce that fruit. And not only do we produce fruit, but we get strong. We get supernatural strength. And the really cool thing is the natural outworking of a relationship with Jesus, of being connected to and remaining in the vine, is that fruit comes naturally. We don't have to strive for it. We don't have to work really hard. It just comes out naturally, the fruit of the Spirit. And so really what we want the fruit in our lives to be doing is glorifying God. And in verse 8, it talks about, Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory, is to show the world that we are his disciples, and hopefully that attracts other people and draws other people to Jesus. So we come to the final character in this picture, and that is God, the gardener. So we've got Jesus is the source, we've got us as the branches, and now we have God, the gardener. So this is what Jesus says, I am the vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And so when I read this, it really is an interesting description of God, I think, because he's described as so many things in the Bible. He's described as creator. He's described as almighty and omnipresent, all-powerful, beginning and the end. And so then you've got this picture of him as a gardener, and it seems a little bit odd to me. And I think I said last time that, you know, this picture of him as a gardener with like with a hat and in overalls, sort of just walking around the garden with his pruners is a little bit kind of funny. And so when I think about a gardener does many things. They do weeding, and mowing and raking and fertilizing and watering. But it doesn't mention anything about God raking the leaves or doing the weeding or fertilizing anything in the vine. It only talks about him taking away and pruning. Now, before we sort of get into those things, it's just really important that we stop and just get the right picture of God as the gardener. And sometimes we can picture God as the gardener with a chainsaw. And we sort of see him like that little man up in the corner, like really excited to just hack away at everything. And I just want to say that that is not the picture that we should have as God the gardener. He's not carrying a chainsaw. God is not setting out to destroy the garden. It's really important. We've got to remember, a gardener loves their garden. Who's like a true gardener here? Anyone like a green thumb? Catherine, you're it. A true gardener loves their garden and they actually desire to see that garden flourish and grow. And so we've got to understand, if God is the gardener in this picture, he doesn't want to destroy. He actually really wants to see us and see our lives flourish and bloom because he just loves us. And so if you're imagining God doing the gardening, you need to just think of him as just having some little pruners. That's all he's holding. It's just little prune. He's pruning a vine, not a Boab tree. So let's just, we got that straight? No chainsaws here. So there are two things that our gardener is doing according to verse 2. Taking away or cutting off and pruning or cutting back. Now firstly, the cutting away or the cutting off or the taking away. There's lots of opinion, there's lots of theories, there's lots of interpretations about exactly what that means. And if I were to stand up here tonight and in my lack of wisdom try and explain it all, I would probably end up confusing everyone. And I really don't want to do that tonight. And so I'm actually not going to talk about the cutting off or the taking away tonight. But what I really felt God lead me and guide me in this is I really want to just focus on the pruning aspect of this verse. And I encourage you to look into this verse for yourself and do your own research and do your own investigating with God. But tonight, what the focus is going to be is on the pruning. So what is pruning? What does Jesus mean when he says that God prunes every branch? And as I was just going over this afternoon, I just stopped and realized that it says every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes. And so that is every single one of us. That is not just some of us Christians, but every one of us who is attached to the vine, who is in Jesus, every single one of us needs to be aware that pruning is going to happen in our lives. It's not just for, you know, the people that have just started out in their walk or the super spiritual. It is for every single person. And so that is, I would assume, most of us, if not all of us here tonight. So I think pruning can happen in a number of different ways. And I've picked four. And look, there could be more, but I'm just going to quickly go through four ways or four things that pruning is. Number one, it's God's correction, sharpening, rebuke and discipline. God's correction, sharpening, rebuke, and discipline. Hebrews 12 says this, "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son.'" So pruning is God's correction, sharpening, rebuke, and discipline. Secondly, pruning is done through God's word, is done through his teachings and his truth. 2 Timothy says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." And then in verse 3, straight after Jesus says, "I'm the vine, my father's the gardener, he cuts off and he prunes," he says this. He says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." So, and again, I don't have time to go into the cleansing and the pruning, but there's actually a lot in cleansing and pruning. And they go hand in hand with each other. And so they complement each other. And so what Jesus is saying, because remember he's talking to his disciples, is that because of God's word, because of the truth that he's already shared with them, they are already clean, that they are pruned. And so we need to expect, when we open up the Bible, we need to expect and allow it to prune us and cleanse us. That is one of the purposes of God's word, to cleanse and prune us. Thirdly, pruning can be done through our relationship with other people. So I'm talking about when other people might correct us. Has anyone ever had the pleasure of being pruned by someone? It is a good attitude tester, let me tell you that. But we need to remember this. We need to remember this, whether we're on the receiving end or whether we're on the giving end of pruning in our relationships, it must be life-giving. It must be life-giving. Proverbs says this, Proverbs 15:31, he who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. And lastly, I believe that pruning is done through trials. So trials and tests, circumstances, opposition, obstacles that we may face in life. 1 Peter says this, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know, God sometimes allows trials and challenges and difficulties and valleys in his sovereignty. He allows those things to happen in our life to build and grow and strengthen and stretch our faith. And so pruning can happen in different ways, whether that's through people, God's word, through his discipline. But the thing that we need to remember with every single pruning experience or process that we go through is that it has a purpose. Pruning has a purpose. So why? Why does God prune? Why is that one of the roles of the gardener? It's a good thing. Pruning is a good thing. So think about your garden. I don't do a lot of gardening. I don't really do any. I water some pots on the deck. But I tell you what I do every year. I do prune my roses. And that's pretty much the only thing I will do. And the reason that I when I say prune, I just like get the scissors and cut them. So, it's, you know, it's pretty simple. But I still will make the effort to prune those roses because the reason I do that is not because I've got nothing else to do. It is because I want the flowers to come back because I like flowers and I don't like my garden without any flowers. And so I prune so the flowers will grow back in spring. Now, I don't hate those roses. I'm not angry at them. I don't yell at them while I'm cutting them. You silly roses, you didn't flower this well and take that and I'm going to snip you and cut you and oh, I'm so angry at you and look how little I've made you. I don't do that when I'm gardening. And I hope no one does that when they're gardening. But again, sometimes we have this picture when we think of God as a gardener, pruning, that's the kind of attitude that he has and that he does it in some sort of mean way. But we've got to remember the purpose behind pruning. And the reason that pruning is good for us, is good for our lives, is because more fruit is going to come out of it. And not just more fruit, but better fruit. And God, as I said before, God wants that for every single one of our lives. He wants us to be fruitful and he wants us to continue to produce fruit. And I've got the Amplified Bible, the Amplified verse up there in verse 2, because it says, every branch that continues to bear fruit, so listen to that, continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes so that it will be even more fruitful, even richer and finer. And so the other thing is that pruning should be an encouragement for us because we're not going to be pruned unless we're already producing fruit. It's only the branches that are producing fruit that are pruned. And so sometimes, again, we can have this negative mentality about it, but it is an encouragement because we're actually already producing the good things of God and the fruit of the Spirit. And so God just wants to see that multiplied, you know, because God is always there to increase and multiply. And I've underlined it. Yeah, I've underlined it because in the Amplified, it says that he repeatedly prunes. He repeatedly does it. So it's not just a once-off thing. Pruning is not just a once-off thing that we go through with God. God does it over and over and over again. And so maybe you've just come out of a pruning experience. Well, there's another one right around the corner because God wants to continue to multiply because God doesn't ever want us to just have some fruit and then that's okay and you've reached your peak. No, God always wants to grow us. He always wants us to know him better and experience him more and he wants to continue to multiply. So be ready that there is always a pruning experience right around the corner. And so all of this is really great and I'm trying to sell it here, if you can't see that. But here's the thing. Pruning is not fun. Pruning is hard. Pruning is painful. It's not particularly pleasant. And so whether it's God's discipline, whether it's a life-giving rebuke, whether it's God's word, whether it's a trial or a circumstance that's difficult that you're going through, it's not particularly fun. No one really enjoys the pruning process. And Paul said it himself in Hebrews. And he says it like this, for the time being, no discipline brings joy. It seems sad and painful. Yet, to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit, which is really cool, the peaceful fruit of righteousness, right standing with God, and a lifestyle and attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and purpose. So Hebrews says that for the time being, it doesn't bring joy. So that's, again, that's a good thing because it's not permanent. It's not forever. It's just for a season. And sure, that season will come again. But for me, when I read this, it's about getting the bigger picture. We've got to get the bigger picture behind pruning. Hebrews says that afterwards, so after the uncomfortable part, after the painful and sometimes sad and you know, whatever period of pruning, it yields the fruit of righteousness. Pruning is for kingdom purposes. Yes, it's for our own lives that we produce fruit, but it's for God's plans and purposes that we even bear fruit to begin with. The reason, he says it in verse 8, you are to be fruitful so that the world may know that you're my disciples. So producing fruit in the first place is for the kingdom and it's to glorify God. And so if that is true, then when we're pruned so that we become even more fruitful, then again, that's for God's purposes. That's to show the world that we're his disciples. And sometimes we can take the pruning process really personally and we can get really discouraged by it because it isn't pleasant and it is painful. But as much as it's about us, it's not about us, if that makes sense. If we only ever see pruning as a personal thing, then we're going to fail to recognize the big picture, and that is going to affect our response to God in that process. So what is our response in the pruning process? If we go back to us as a branch and our role as a branch in this picture that Jesus paints in John 15, then for the sake of the whole tree or for the sake of the whole vine, we should be allowing God to do his work and his pruning process in us so that the whole tree produces fruit. Remember, we're a branch in a tree. We're a branch in a vine. And so our responsibility is to actually allow God's pruning to happen so that the whole tree, so that the whole vine may be more fruitful. A master gardener knows exactly when, exactly where, and exactly how much to prune. My roses don't tell me they need to be pruned. They don't know. I do it because I can see. I can see where one's going wayward, or I can see, you know, where it needs to be chopped. And so the plant's job is just to submit to the gardener, to submit to being pruned. We have to trust God, who loves us, who wants to see our lives overflowing with fruit. We need to submit to him, knowing the whole time that more fruit is coming, and not just the same fruit, but better fruit than before. So when we're going through a season of pruning, what is our response? What is our attitude? And we have a few choices. Firstly, we can resist it. We can fight against it, we can ignore it, we can despise it. That is one of the options that we can do. Proverbs says this, those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but those who heed it, so heed means to learn, to take on board, to accept, those who heed correction gain understanding. And then Proverbs 11:1 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. And they're pretty powerful words in Proverbs. It says when we disregard discipline, when we resist pruning in our lives, we despise ourselves. We despise ourselves, meaning we obviously don't care about our fruitfulness enough to go through the process. And therefore, we obviously don't care. And it really is easy to go through a pruning process and have an attitude that resists it and that fights against it because it is painful and it is uncomfortable. But when we do that, we don't do ourselves any favours. We definitely don't do the tree or the vine any favours, and we don't do the kingdom any favours. And so we've got to really be watchful about our attitude in the pruning process. And I remember, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, I was going through a prune, and it was to do with the fact that I compared myself, and maybe not even myself, but I compared my life to others. And it was during an already really difficult time in my life when I was going through some trials with my health, not being able to have a baby. And so I played this comparison game where I would just look at my life and I would just compare my life to everyone else around me and look at all of the things that other people had that I didn't. You know, health and, you know, an easy road or children or whatever. And I just would find so many things to compare my life to. And so God brought this to my attention, and he did it in a few ways. He did it, you know, through he himself letting me know that. He also did it through someone else, through a good friend. And so I knew this was an issue in my life. There was no doubt that I didn't know that this was an area that God really wanted to prune back. But I resented it, and I resisted it, and I ignored it because I didn't want to deal with it, because I was going through a tough time, and my justification was, well, this is how I'm coping and this is how I'm dealing with it. And sometimes we can make excuses and we can justify our attitude or response because things might be tough. But the more I ignored it and the more I resented and despised God bringing this to my attention, the worse it got. The worse it got, not only for myself and how hopeless I started to feel, but it really started to damage some of my relationships with other people. And so then from that, I also started to isolate myself. And none of those things are good, and none of those are good places to be in. And so very slowly and really painfully, because it's not easy, I worked through this with God. Again, when I looked at what it was doing, not just to my own life, but what it was doing to, you know, relationships and bigger pictures apart from just myself, I started to understand that I really had to allow God to work this in me. And as Paul said, as sad and as unpleasant as it was in that time, when I was able to actually break free of that, the fruit and the blessings that came from that were just amazing. And I look back at that time, and as painful as it was, it has taught me so much. And now I can stand here and I can honestly say, I rarely compare my life with other people. And so I can see the fruit out of that painful time. And I could see myself resisting it. But I tell you what, it would have been so much quicker and it would have been so much easier for me if I just allowed it to begin with. And so that's the other response that we can have when we're going through a prune, is to accept it, to welcome it, and to submit to it, knowing that we're going to grow from it. Having a genuine desire to be Christ-like. And I've got a few scriptures about that too. So Psalm 51, this is David. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me." James 4 says, "Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil and he will flee. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn and wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up." And then Revelation 3:20. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and they with me." You know, God is constantly standing at the door of our lives and knocking. Constantly. He's constantly standing there and knocking, wanting to commune with us, wanting to have relationship and fellowship with us. And sometimes part of that relationship and that fellowship is to prune, is to bring something to our attention. Again, because he wants the best for us, because he wants more fruit in our lives. And I say that over and over again because it's so important we understand that. And we have a choice about whether we humble ourselves, whether we open up the door to him and allow him to come in, and whether we say, just like David said, "God, I want you to create a clean heart in me. God, I want you to renew a steadfast spirit in me." That is a choice that we have. We can choose to do that. He doesn't barge in through the door. He knocks and he waits for us to allow him in. And I was thinking about, you know, this kind of response. And when you're married, you see and display the good, the bad and the ugly in the other person and with the other person. And so there is an abundance of opportunity for correction when you're married to happen, or opportunity for life-giving rebukes to happen. Sometimes they're not life-giving. Sometimes they are. And I've not been married a super long time in the scheme of life, but I am learning slowly that the sooner that I embrace and welcome and accept the pruning that comes, and whether that's from Aaron or whether that's from the Holy Spirit, God himself, just knocking on my door, the better and the quicker the fruit comes. And, you know, I used a scripture before in Proverbs that says, he who listens to a life-giving rebuke is at home among the wise. We are wise when we listen. We are wise when we listen to the promptings of God. We are wise when we actually listen and take things on board. But we need humility, because that's not going to happen without a humble heart. It's not going to come without a willingness to submit to God. And so we need to choose to be humble before God and before each other and trust the purposes and plans of God, even when they don't seem obvious to us, even when it doesn't make sense to us, even when it doesn't seem fair. We need to trust the bigger picture. And our relationship with Jesus, so the vine and the branches, will determine what kind of response we have when God prunes us. And he will. It is inevitable that he will prune us. There is a vine dresser there to prune every single one of us. So let's remember that though God's pruning is painful and difficult and challenging and all that, that in verse 8 in John 15, he says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." And what this passage over the last month that I've been working on it and studying it, what this passage in John has challenged me the most, or has taught me the most, is about having a kingdom perspective and about having a kingdom mindset and mentality. And it is so, so important. And it is so easy to get tunnel vision about our own lives and to get swept up in our own little worlds and what's happening in our life. But when we get a bigger picture, when we get a God perspective, it actually can make such a difference in our attitude and in our mindset when we're going through a prune. And I've just had a revelation about that, and God is just really teaching me about what it means to have a kingdom perspective as opposed to just my own little Nicole perspective in my own little life. And I just want to finish with the scripture in Hebrews that I mentioned before, because I really love it. "For the time being, no discipline brings joy. It seems painful and sad. Yet those who have been trained by it," and again, just there's so much in this, trained by it. When we going through a pruning experience, God is training us. He's equipping us. Remember, he's talking to his disciples. He's sending them out to be his hands and feet when he goes. And so it's a training process. It's not just, you know, you need to fix this or deal with this. He's training us for bigger and better things and equipping us. "When you have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, right standing with God, and a lifestyle and attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and purpose." So really tonight, I just want us to be encouraged during the pruning processes of our life. Remember, God loves his garden. He loves his garden. He loves every tree, every plant, whatever you might look like, he loves everyone in his garden. And whether you're in a pruning, you know, experience right now or whether it's around the corner, be encouraged that more fruit is going to come. Be encouraged that God is training you and equipping you, and that it's an encouragement, because he's actually sees in you good things that he wants more to come. And let's choose our response. Let's choose a response that welcomes and submits and trusts his ways and doings. And I just love that last line. I forgot to underline it. I love the last line that says, "A lifestyle, the fruit that comes from pruning is a lifestyle and attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and God's purpose." That is what I want for my life. I want my lifestyle to conform to the plans and purposes of God's will. I want an attitude that conforms to the kingdom. And so, I pray and I hope that God gives all of us a fresh revelation about what it means to have a kingdom mentality, even when we're going through and uncomfortable pruning experiences. Is that all right? So I'm just going to pray and, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much that in this picture that Jesus gives us as you as the gardener, Lord, I just thank you that you are a gardener that looks out into every single person and just sees potential, just sees us and wants to produce more of your goodness, more of your spirit, more of your characteristics in us. And that is, sure, that's going to bless our lives, but God, you have a bigger purpose and plan. And so, Father, I just pray for those that are here tonight, and whether we are in a pruning experience, I just pray that you would help us to just get the right attitude. Help us to get your perspective. Help us to understand the bigger picture in our lives and for your kingdom. And Father God, I just I pray for our response in those times. Lord, as much as it's difficult and painful, Father, I pray that we would have a genuine desire to see you do your work in us, regardless of how uncomfortable it may feel. And Father God, I just pray, just as you've given me a revelation about having a kingdom mentality, lift our eyes, Father God, lift our eyes from the things on earth, from the things below, and set our eyes on the things above. Help us to get a picture and a heart for the things that matter to you. Help us to get a passion for the things of you, Father God. And I just pray that as you help lift our eyes to the way that you see things in your perspective, Father, I pray that we would find freedom that. Father, I pray that we would just, that submission that comes to you, Father God, would happen easily, Father God. And we pray for the fruitfulness that is to come, for the fruitfulness that is there. And Father, we do pray that it would draw people unto yourself. We pray, Father God, that our lives would be so reflective of you that people would just notice you in us. So God, we just thank you for your work in us. We pray that you would continue to do your work in us. And we thank you that you love us enough to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.